guys, and welcome to episode 7 of the Drumquake podcast. I'm Matt, and...
And I'm Troy, coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky, home of Derby 150, folks. I could care less, but somebody might. So, just saying, hey.
What's it like with Derby Town? Like, what's the atmosphere like around the city and everything right now? We're just going to jump right into that, because now I'm curious.
Pretty much no different than any other time. Lots of bourbon, lots of parties, lots of drinking, food. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
And a lot of traffic. So
I was going to say the traffic is probably atrocious at this time.
Yeah. But I don't live, I live probably 25 minutes from Churchill Downs, but I don't get anywhere near there. So it's cool.
It's probably a good thing. So I know we were talking a little bit before about just coming right out and saying it, the worst kept secret in all of drumming secrets, with Slipknot finally announcing that Eloy Casagrande is their new drummer. So how do we feel about this, and how do we feel about how this was handled? Because I, for one, think it was stupid. Sorry, guys.
I think it was handled poorly all the way around, where he suddenly up and leaves Sepultura on their 40th and final anniversary tour. And then they just start putting hints out there. You know, Jay got did pretty wrong by Slipknot. But ended up Jay's getting suicidal tendencies. So that worked out.
I mean, they've just been rotating through people, because they had Grayson Nekrutman for a while. Now Grayson's playing with Sepultura. And then Jay goes to Suicidal Tendencies, and Eloy goes to Slipknot. It was just this weird triangle of, like, some really bad hockey trade, I feel like.
Exactly. It's, yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of those Chops guys go through Suicidal Tendencies. Eric Moore went through there after he won the drum off from Guitar Center a few years back, and it's just one of those bands where the hot drummer seems to go. But let's hope it works out for Jay.
Yeah, and I don't see Jay staying. Like, I just don't see, like, that's his thing. And Jay, if you're ever watching the show, we'd love to talk to you, because we do feel you did dirty. Like, let's just come out and say it. And I know the internet has just beaten this to death. I didn't want to use beat a dead horse, because we just talked about the dirty.
Yeah, horse racing. We had that problem last year. So.
But really, I feel like they did Jay dirty. You know, we don't know all the background stuff. The way Jay made it sound was that, I mean, he was blindsided. He didn't have any idea. And I really think his creativity is not going to... It's not going to mesh with Suicidal for very long. At least that's my opinion.
Unless they're wanting to go in a different direction or something like that, but...
Well, that's all you have to say now. And I mean, really, the internet broke down everything about Eloy going over. They're like, oh, these are his sticks. These are this. And I guess it was the final straw, besides them tagging him in a post finally, was the way he played the Heretic anthem. And they went back to a video he posted years ago, and he did just a certain, I think it was a double crash in the middle of it to kind of add to it. And everyone was like, oh, that's him. Like, that was... This isn't, you know, 1992. We all have the internet. We all have the ability to look this stuff up. So why do you think they kept it a secret? Why do you think there was such big mystery around all of that, just to get us talking about it like we're doing now?
Yeah, I think Slipknot's trying to get anything they can to still be relevant. They didn't create the genre. I'm not even sure they took it somewhere new. Well, there's a lot of underground stuff. I mean, Gwar's been doing costume rock way before they were ever born.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's not really anything new. And I'm not sure it's still relevant at this point. The anger when you're 50 is not the same anger as when you're 22. So, because that Iowa album's 30 years old, I think, at this point. So
yeah, and I think they're doing the tour, you know. Then they announced the tour, and I'm like, oh, okay, like, you know, and they're talking about, oh, everybody's, you know, reacting to this. No, like, teenage angst is not, you can't call it teenage angst when you're 30s and you're 40s.
No.
Like you said, I'm trying to find that.
They're doing the festival circuit anyway. You know, it's more of a money grab, I think.
I'm trying to see if
That's
I can
my
pull
two
up.
cents.
Listen, that's fine, and I feel like that's part of what it is. I was looking for that Loudwire article, actually, the Big Four of prog metal, and the fact that they included Dream Theater, Queensryche, Opeth, and Between the Buried and Me. I was curious to see what you thought about that four, because I don't think those should be the four they're talking about.
I don't even know who the last band is.
Wow. It's
So.
think of like Animals as Leaders. It's like math progressive rock is what I would call it. I got to see them once and they didn't move. Like they're literally planted in one spot on the stage playing, and they're playing the most intricate parts in the world. But man, I feel like Tool getting left out of that was kind of weird. You know, and even
No,
Portnoy
too.
said, "Oh, I would have included Fate's Warning or Tool." And I'm like, "Yeah, I would have too, but I feel like Dream Theater is always cemented into that, you know, the big four of prog, but do you feel like they should be in the big prog metal category at this point?"
I don't really have any problem with Dream Theater being in there. Queensryche, I love Queensryche, some of their stuff. I either love it or I hate it, and it seems to be the consensus with Loudwire too. You know, now that that whole band situation's got diluted with two different singers and Jeff Tate doing his own thing, and everybody calls it Queensryche. But I never considered their music metal.
No, and
So.
I don't think it is either. I mean, I think it's amazing, don't get me wrong. You know, Jet City Woman comes on, and that might not be everybody's favorite song, but I love that song. There's just something about that song where I'm like, all right, don't skip. Just listen to it. It's good. You know, but I would not, if I played that for anybody, I'd be like, you like metal? And they'd be like, this isn't metal. So I feel like they're that list was kind of weird, but at the same time, I'm not gonna agree with number one on that list for the albums because
I
they
did
rank
not
these
see it.
albums. So they rank the albums worst to best of all the bands. And coming in at number one, Metropolis Part Two, Scenes from a Memory. I said, I don't disagree with that at all. And I know that's gonna upset a lot of people, but that album was a catalyst. You know, we've talked about it before. That album was a catalyst to change my life, like hands down.
That album's classic.
So it kind of brings me to, you know, they've announced the tour, they're doing all, you know, Dream Theater's doing everything in Europe. You know, we've got Portnoy back at the helm, which still just doesn't feel real. And I can keep saying it over and over because it was so weird the way it happened. And, you know, it was, I think all of us were secretly and openly saying we want it to happen. And when we saw Liquid Tension, we were like, maybe it could happen. And then we saw him with, you know, Petrucci touring. We're like, maybe it could happen. And then we, you know, fold into it actually happening. But, you know, my thoughts are like, are we, what are we going to be met with when this new album comes out and this new tour comes out? Like, do you think we're going to see a lot of the older Dream Theater stuff? Do you think we're going to see a lot of the newer stuff kind of peppered in? Or do you think we're going to get like a whole recreation of everything, basically in the same way that I feel Train of Thought was? Because Train of Thought changed the direction of how Dream Theater was going. So, I mean, what do you think?
I was reading up on that a little bit where they were trying to get more of that sound back from Images and Words and Metropolis. They've got the engineer that they use.
I
They're
heard
using
that,
some of the same amplifiers and different things like that. So I think they're going to go for the classic sound because that's what people want to hear. And hopefully, because there's some of their albums they got in, you could definitely hear a Tool influence or,
yeah.
you know, grunge influence, or, you know, they were trying to do blast beats for a while because that's just not really their thing either.
No.
You know, I don't think, you know, the whole blast beat metal, that's not Dream Theater,
No,
in
and I
my
mean,
opinion.
it was weird to hear it in Black Clouds. You know, in A Nightmare to Remember, if I'm not mistaken, he does it. And you're like, I think it was the first time I had heard him doing blast beats. And I just went, well, that's weird. Like, it was cool, but it was like,
Yeah, they did blast bass. They did some growls. You know, they did the detuned guitars. They were trying a lot of things, and some of it didn't land.
Yeah, I will never forget sitting in my car. I was sitting at a stoplight on US 19, and I had Nightmare to Remember playing, and it was the first time I had listened to it, and it has the car crash right at the beginning, you know, like right in the like first minute or two. I heard the brake squeal, I grabbed the steering wheel and I closed my eyes, and I was just like, oh, it's the song. So kudos to whoever recorded that, because that sounded damn real to me.
Yeah, it does. It was probably from a movie or something like that, so.
Yeah. Well, it kind of begs the way everything has progressed, no pun intended there. Do we feel like this is the last tour? Do we feel like this is kind of their way of saying goodbye? The 40th anniversary, putting the band back together, so to speak. And do you feel like we're going to get any surprises on this tour? Maybe some, you know, Kevin Moore's popping up, or, you know, things like that.
Derek Shenanian, yeah, Shenanian, or however you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
I
I love
think
Derek Green because everything he did with Virgil Zanotti was amazing with Planet X. So.
I do think you're going to see things like that, because I think this is probably, you know, at some point you can't keep doing what you were doing. James's vocal range is being pushed at this point already.
And he's even come out and said it, because there are people who would just rip him apart. And you know, obviously I would have loved, you know, unfortunately, rest in peace, Charlie Dominici. I would have loved to see him on stage with the guys, you know, given what they've been able to do. You know, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I really feel like he just wasn't what the band needed. And so, you know, it just sucks that he passed away before they were able to kind of do this last tour. It's just weird seeing, you know, Portnoy go, okay, I'm done with the drum tracks. Petrucci, I'm done with the drum. I feel like they're doing more interviews. I feel like they're doing more clips. I feel like it's setting us up
Yeah,
for
I do
that.
too. They're working on the writing sessions now, and you know, they're like, we're trying to keep everything a secret and under wraps, but
But they're doing that the right way. Take a
yeah.
note, Slipknot. And I mean, we talk about these tours. So, you know, the Dream Theater tour, you know, the Aristocrats just announced their tour, promoting their album Duck. So, Marco Minniman. And then the ambulance or fire truck that's right outside my window. So, if you can hear that.
I can hear
All right. Good mic. Good mic.
that.
The Beat Tour. So, the King Crimson with Steve Vai, Tony Levin. The guy from King Crimson, which I'm sorry, anybody who's watching this going, I don't.
Robert Fripp.
Yeah. And then Danny Carey on drums. I feel like this is a weird, weird amalgamation that I already have tickets to. So what are your thoughts on the four of them? Because I've listened to some of the King Crimson stuff and I know it was the basis or the foundation for a lot of everything we listened to. But for you, like, was it something that was even part of your discography or something you listen to?
And the short answer, no. Because
That's exactly what I'm.
the first drummer, was Bill Bruford, who left Yes to play for King Crimson, and they were just pushing the envelope, from what I understand. And then Pat Mastalotto joined, who actually played for Mr. Mister. He would play more electronic drums. Bill would play acoustic, and it was just like a total amalgamate.
Amalgamation.
Yes, that.
That thing.
And I just at the time I couldn't even understand what was going on, because I have a I still want to find the one somewhere, and I wasn't gonna. It was a math problem to try to figure it out, but I can enjoy some of it now.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's aged very well. I feel like, you know, you listen to some of the stuff and you go, okay, I can hear Metallica got influences from this. I can hear the Dream Theater influences from this. I can hear all this stuff. And then at one point, you had Gavin Harrison playing drums for them. You know, and everything he did with Porcupine Tree and Pineapple Thief and all that. And all that stuff is just all over the place. And it's very, I love when that stuff just comes on random, because it's a nice change from the regular music, I guess I would say.
And Pineapple Thief's on tour too, so.
Don't tell me that.
They're playing the same place we saw Neil Morse.
Oh, and the Abbey in Orlando.
Yeah.
Was it the Abbey or was it?
I think so. Or maybe it's the Plaza, but it's one of those two.
This isn't me looking up another tour, another band to see. it's another thing. So Under Oath just announced a 20th year anniversary tour. Mm-hmm. And they did one of the strangest things I had seen in a while was they had a Friday night show. Sold out. I mean, sold out before the pre-sale even started, which nobody has figured out how that happened yet. So they added a Saturday show. Saturday show sells out. Adds a Sunday show, sells out.
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't know a lot of bands who could do a 3-day just like who would sell out that fast. You know, but I also realized Under Oath being from Spring Hill, not Tampa, Spring Hill, to all you people out there. It's an interesting kind of thing. And the tickets, $35. I said, that's how much a ticket should be. And I know that's been a source of contention lately, too, is how much people are charging. It's just getting out of hand. And I know the government's trying to do something about it, but I'm like, what are you going to do?
They're trying to stop the junk fees. You know, when that $25 ticket becomes $47.50 with all the event charges, that's ridiculous.
I bought two $35 tickets and it was over $100. And I was like,
yeah.
The math is not adding up here.
Yeah, no, it's like, what are those fees for? So
exactly. And that's the thing. When a ticket, we were looking at hockey tickets and it's like, okay, the ticket's $100. The fees are $100. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And you get a gold plated souvenir ticket. What's going on?
And that's the other thing is that like, Where I'll always say about metal bands, you know, metal bands, I could spend $85. I'm getting a meet and greet with the band. I'm getting a laminate. I'm getting a photo with them. I'm getting to talk to them. I'm getting a photo book. Like, I'm getting all these things. And it's like $85 for some of these other bands. You're sitting in the back row,
with a
7-foot-tall guy in front of you, and you can't see anything because you're going like this the whole show.
Yeah, and that's why their fans are so loyal. I mean, I'd rather have a small number of very loyal fans than just tons of fair weather fans.
Exactly.
They care less, you know, it's just, oh, okay, I'll go.
So, and then we talk about, I think that feels like a weird but appropriate transition. You know, we talk about fair weather fans, but we also talk about loyalty and things being around for a while. And sometimes that doesn't last. And, you know, we saw today the news about Sam Ash.
Right. And
all of them going under. And I mean, I knew the one in Clearwater was going under, but I didn't realize it was going to be a company-wide thing. So, you know, how do you feel about that? And think about, like, your favorite memory going in there, because I'm going to have to think of one, too, because it definitely was a place that it's going to be missed.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Sam Ash took over some local music stores. They bought out Thoroughbred Music. I'd never heard of Sam Ash, but it was a big institution based out of New York. And it was always a cool place to go. But over the last few years, you could just see you'd go in there and there was no inventory. It was all entry-level kits, used cymbals, used drums. I mean, you could start to see that what was going on. They used to have clinics. There's no more clinics. Or anything like that. And it's just, you know, the industry, you know, is becoming an online deal. And there's a few meccas, you know, places that you can go. You know, you're in the Northeast, you can go up to Drum Center at Portsmouth. You know, I'm in the Midwest. I can, you know, in a few hours, I can be up to Sweetwater in Indiana, or I can go down to Forks in Nashville. I think you just have some destinations. Unfortunately, that corporate music store situation, I think, is gone. Guitar Center will probably be close by.
Yeah.
I think they do have their hand in a few other things. I think they're owned by a drum workshop, I've heard. I don't know if that's true, but probably my favorite memory of Sam Ash. I've got a couple. One was seeing the Falicon rack from Sabotage. And then I saw that in Modern Drummer. It's the hits the chains, looks like a tree, but it was a drum rack. And I was lucky enough when we went to New York, I did manage to make it to the original Sam Ash on 48th. And that was just cool, kind of a cool vibe, you know, knowing all the drum hangs that had happened in that location, you know, and just where it started. So it was kind of cool to do that.
Well, yeah, and for us, like growing up, you know, when we would go out on the weekends, it was either we would go to Walmart in the morning, look for Hot Wheels, and go to the flea market. You know, we'd go to Encore, which, you know, I'm pretty sure Encore's gone too.
Oh, yeah.
And then being able to go there and just play, just bang on stuff. And the guy would walk over and make sure you had the right sticks and you weren't using a pair of new sticks, which was always funny to me. That there was a guy like patrolling that, like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just to go there and ask about the new gear that was out, you know, did you have the latest head, you know? And they knew they were up on all that stuff. Now it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think we lost a semblance of just that pride in the store. You know, you go into some of these stores, these people really love what they do. They really did. And then to go in now, it's like I could see why they're not lasting. So hopefully something good comes out of it. I mean, we keep seeing, I mean, at least on the page, we keep seeing new drum companies coming out, new people making drums. You know, there's got to be a, you know, somewhere for them to go eventually when they get to the point where they're going to be in, you know, heavy distribution. So, you know,
I think they just do it online because of things like Shopify. You can set up your own online store pretty easily now
yeah.
if you can
And
get
I
your
think
distribution.
it's just weird to it's weird to me to think of buying a cymbal online without getting to play it first. That to me is just it just doesn't seem right, you know. Not being able to hit that drum and feel what, you know, what it sounds like or what it could be. So
Yeah,
I
that's
will.
where Memphis Drum Shop has the where they play the cymbal for you, and it's like you can buy this exact cymbal.
Oh
That's
wow.
one way around it, but yeah, I've ordered some cymbals, and it's kind of a crapshoot. You hope, you know, especially with Zildjian's, their sounds can vary widely, and you just don't know what you're gonna get.
Well, yeah, and you've got, you know, all these companies, like I said, making new drums, making new drumsticks. I know Woody's is one of the newer companies that I've seen making drumsticks. I'm curious to see what they're gonna do. I actually ordered us two pairs, so Woody's, there you go.
I was gonna say he had his soft launch last week, so
Yeah, I bought one for me, one for you. I'll ship it up to
okay. I was going to do that, and then I got preoccupied with something else, so
you.
probably sleep. Or
Probably.
actually, I was sick last week, so.
I was gonna say you were sick last week, but to everyone watching, I know we usually have a guest, but the whole idea behind this was that we want to be able to carry this without a guest and just have the conversations that you're basically hearing the conversations Dad and I have on the phone, through Instagram, through everything else. So I think this was kind of a nice change in the lineup. We've got, you know, some fun guests coming up. We're trying to lock down some people for scheduling. I know, Dad, you had a few people you threw my way, and we're not going to give anyone away
No.
just in case there's any scheduling snafus or anything. We don't want to disappoint or give any false expectations, but there are a couple people who have showed some interest in the show, and it's pretty exciting just based on what we're doing. You know, we're not putting out shows every week. We're not blasting everybody with what's going on. We're having a fun conversation, and you know, David definitely kind of helps spark some interest with that. So, David, thank you so much for being our guest on the last show.
Yes, thank you, David.
And if anybody heard the intro of the show, is one of David's songs that he was gracious enough to let us use. So, guys, check out, you know, his album, and just check out other drummers. You know, not everybody's going to be the best drummer in the world. Not everybody's going to be the most famous drummer in the world, but there are some incredibly talented musicians, and this is the chance to, like, you know, kind of give them a little bit of spotlight without, you know, making it go to their head, I guess would be the best way to say it. So,
yeah, exactly. I mean, David doesn't need any extra spotlight. He's done very well for himself.
Yeah. And I mean, the
things he's done.
And the subscribers we have, like, thanks to all you guys. And we just appreciate it. You know, we're having fun with this. And, you know, we're going to try to work on that every other week schedule. But as you all know, sometimes stuff happens. People get sick. People, you know, have issues with their technology, their timing, their schedule, whatever the case is. But we just appreciate that. But I know we said we'd keep it right around where we are. So I want to see if you have any last words to kind of roll us out on this one. And the first episode that we did, it was just the two of us talking. So this is kind of a first for us too.
Yeah, exactly. We're just trying to throw this around to see how it works. Yeah, if you guys have any questions, you want to ask us anything, just drop it in the notes, one of the platforms, and we'll try to answer it as much as we can. Just tell us what you'd like to see.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, what you're thinking about, you know, and just who your influences are, because your influences can be everywhere, from the guy you saw playing at church to Dave Weckl, you know, and all points in between. So, and sometimes it's just a sound you hear in your head somewhere, and it might strike a beat. You know, music is everywhere if you listen. It doesn't have to be coming from a radio speaker.
I think we need that on our t-shirt. Music is everywhere. I'm not even kidding right now. That was brilliant.
Well, this world needs some of that too. So, I mean, music is the great unifier.
Yep.
So,
music, because mental health matters.
Yeah, I'm sporting old school MTV. So,
listen, MTV changed everything too. But
it changed my life for sure, because that's all I watched for about 2 years solid, from day one.
And I really love that you said that, because that's exactly what this is all about. This is not about getting famous. This is not about making millions of dollars, which neither one of us would turn down. If you know, we're working out the details on some, you know, big news. I know we've been talking about it for a while. So once we've got that ironed out, we'll share with you, and it's just going to expand the reach and, you know, present probably more opportunities that we're really excited about. So on behalf of myself, Dad, thanks for watching, guys. And
thanks for watching. You guys have a great night, and I hope you win lots of money during the Kentucky Derby this week. So
absolutely.
Go Sierra Leone.
Hey, guys, if you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe to the Drunk Pig Podcast. Thank you so much.